Good morning and welcome to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti, where we discuss everyday people's legal issues when it comes to their estate plan, elder law, tax issues. We try to put all of our examples into perspective so it will suit every person who listens. Today we're going to talk about when your estate plan needs updated. Even if your estate plan is new, I always recommend, let's shake the dust off that binder that your will's in, or the folder, open that safe deposit box, get it out from under your bed, because with the changes in laws within the past year or so, what was effective 2 years ago may not be necessary now. And what I mean by it may not be necessary, the best example is the tax change. So your exemption, your lifetime exemption for a married couple in the past, and I'm going to use round numbers, was roughly $11 million. Well, now it's doubled. It's $22 million. What does that mean? That means that for those couples who fall under the $22 million net worth, federal estate tax is not applicable. It doesn't get assessed or paid upon their passing. Now, for those couples who have amassed more than $22 million, that's different. That's a different story. There will still be federal estate tax. But if your total assets, your total net worth falls under that number, and you take the, you chose to stack your spouse's exemption upon their death. If you pass away with less than $22 million, then we don't have to worry about federal estate tax. Now, let's be honest. Most of my clients, most of my fellow attorneys who have similar clients, it's rare to have a large number of clients who exceed that $22 million. So for today's show, we're going to ignore them and discuss the rest of us who fall under the $22 million category. With that being said, I tell everyone that I can blow off the dust of that binder, of the folder that your will's in or your trust is in, and let's see if it's even needed anymore. What do I mean by that? Well, strategies that had been used in the past to help families avoid paying any type of tax, but primarily estate tax, may now have fallen by the wayside. And it all comes down to because that exemption has increased. Keep in mind, 20 years ago, that exemption was only a few hundred thousand, 600,000. Now it's 22 million. And again, not a lot of the planners have clients who exceed that number. For those clients, and I will say this, this is my caveat, for those clients who have amassed amount of wealth that is greater than 22 million, then we can still use the same plethora of trust planning, the tools to avoid taxes, to create your legacy plan, so to speak, for the following generations. But for my clients who are your everyday average person who have worked really hard for what they have, we don't have to bother with things like credit shelter trust or bypass trust or qualified terminal interest trust or life insurance trusts. It doesn't mean that trusts aren't important and all estate planning with trusts will cease. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because trusts are a viable tool. And today, in the next show, that's what we're going to discuss. the various trusts and how they may help you. But in this instance, and I say this every show, the most important legal document you can have is having a very strong foundation. And that foundation begins with having up to date with the current law, having effective powers of attorney. And keep in mind, there's two. There's your financial power of attorney and your medical power of attorney, which was combined with the living will or your advance directive. But those documents help you with your financial and medical health while you're still alive. You need those documents in case you become incapacitated. And I hate to keep going over and over and over the same concept and the same rule of thumb every show, but I truly believe that those documents are by far the most important documents you can have. We don't know when we'll become incapacitated. And what I mean by that is not you have a stroke, not, oh, you have some form of dementia. It could be, God forbid, you get hit by a bus and you're in a coma or you have lengthy surgeries that allows whomever you trust, whomever you've named as your agent, to be able to make decisions, to be able to pay your bills, to be able to speak with the doctors and the nurses to get an update on what's going on with you. So in my opinion, we can have the strongest, the most advanced trust with all of the caveats that we can think of, planning ahead so you control those distributions from the grave. But none of that is applicable during your lifetime while you're alive, because that stuff takes place when you pass. All of those beneficiary designations, all of that stuff, it will be great and useful when you're gone. But while you're alive, we need to make sure you're protected then as well. The other thing we need to do, and I know that I say this quite a bit, this is the second bit of advice I always give. You need to make sure that your beneficiaries are up to date on all of your accounts. That includes life insurance policies, that includes 401ks, IRAs, annuities, anything that you can put a beneficiary on, do so. And don't just put your primary beneficiary on. So what I run into quite a bit, a spouse will name their spouse as the primary beneficiary, but forget or fail to list the contingent beneficiaries. And it doesn't necessarily have to be your kids. It could be whomever you want. And if you plan on leaving an asset to a charity, we can take advantage of different remainder trusts for a charity. And we're going to get into this more in detail, but it's staggering to me how many people who have real means don't have any documents in place and fail to take advantage of what we're allowed to do and put those beneficiaries on those accounts so that if you pass away, when you pass away, those accounts will go directly to the beneficiaries you named. And in the event that they have predeceased you, your contingent beneficiaries are named. So we don't have to go to court and see who that account will then fall to. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Conti's Law with your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. At Conti Law, we focus primarily on estate planning, estate administration, special needs planning, tax planning, elder law. If you have any questions, I always offer out that you contact us, shoot us an email, give us a call, set up our complimentary consultation. No issue there. We can be reached at 724-784-0239. And I'll repeat our telephone number again before the end of the show. But check us out. Our website is www.contilawpgh.com. contilawpgh.com. Getting back to the beneficiary designations. So it really surprises me when I send out our questionnaire and we sit down and we go through what makes the most sense for you, because estate planning isn't, it's different for everybody. Just because it works for Joe and Susie doesn't mean the same documents or the same approach will work for Joe and Diane. So we sit down and I ask you questions. Who do you have as a joint owner on this account, if anybody? Do you have a transfer on death account? Who are your beneficiaries, primary and contingent? And it's shocking how many people do not fill in the contingent part. And I've heard a varying degree of excuses, such as, well, I put my spouse there because my kids are minors. But if you and your spouse die in a common accident, or your spouse predeceases you, and you don't have a backup as a beneficiary, then those accounts which would have originally fallen outside of the probate process, meaning they don't have to go through the court process, you don't have to get a short certificate, they will go to your named beneficiaries outright, regardless if they're minors. Don't worry, the law has set up a provision that if a minor is listed as the beneficiary, it'll go into a minor's account for them. That's without any planning whatsoever. So you hear me talk about my twins all the time, my four-year-old twins. I have them listed as the contingent beneficiaries on my accounts. If, God forbid, something happens to both my husband and I and it goes to them, they're four. They're not going to get money outright at the age of four. Goodness, I'm lucky they know their alphabet, let alone how to manage any asset whatsoever. So we can put into place, which I highly recommend, we set up a trust in your estate plan, which if you remember from last week, this is what we discussed. But if that has not already been done, you don't have to fear that they're going to get money outright. So you don't have to neglect including them as beneficiaries on an account. Another thing that shocks me is, and I don't know the current statistic, 50, 60% of marriages end in divorce. And of course, that divorce rate increases based on the number of marriages you're on. It really shocks me when somebody comes in and I ask that question. And maybe they are on a second marriage. And when I ask, who's the beneficiary of your life insurance policy? The typical response I get is, I don't know. Sometimes they'll say, I know it's my ex-spouse. I need to update that. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter if you have remarried. Whomever you have listed as your beneficiary on that account, when you die, gets it. So if I was married in the past and I didn't update it and name, change that beneficiary to my new spouse, and I die with my ex-spouse's name on it, it doesn't matter how long I've been married to my second spouse, my first one gets it. This happens more often than not. I also have people who, and this just recently happened, where a lady was dying of cancer, and she, her mom had moved in with her, and so her mom was her primary beneficiary on most of her accounts. And when I met with her, I asked the question, there was a life insurance policy and an IRA. And I asked who those beneficiaries were. And she said, I don't know. I listed them years and years ago. I've been working with that company for 20 years. I believe it's my mom, but it may be somebody else. Well, when she passed away, we found out it was, in fact, somebody else. And because she left that, those policies actually, to other people who were no longer in her life, they get it outright, regardless of what her intention was, because she didn't update the change of beneficiary forms. So those forms are very important. In this instance, the executor can ask them to gift, which is what it would be. It's not a donation, but to gift the estate some of that money, because there isn't any to pay for her funeral. There isn't any to pay off the loans, the debts that she had. But they have every right to say no. She left it to us. We get the proceeds outright. And they're right. So those are some things to think about. But it's always important, in my opinion, that you have your contingent beneficiaries listed. Because you never know if you and your primary beneficiary will pass away in a common accident. Or if they predecease you and you forget and fail to update your beneficiary form. So it can't hurt. Estate planning to me is keeping control over your assets in the event of your incapacity or upon your passing. Maybe you want to make sure that your kids receive your stuff, but in a certain way. Maybe you don't want, let's use my parents for examples. Let's say my parents were going to leave my kids something upon their death and I predeceased them. Well, maybe they don't want my husband, who's their son-in-law, to have control over that asset. Maybe they don't want them involved, period. Maybe they don't like him. They don't trust him. He's bad with money. Maybe they want to skip a generation. Maybe there's a beneficiary who collects some form of governmental benefits and we need a special needs trust. There are all different reasons, many reasons, as to why we would create a certain document. We do focus on trusts. That doesn't mean we don't draft wills. We may draft trusts inside of wills. But it's not necessarily for tax reasons. Maybe it's to protect that asset from the beneficiary. Maybe your kids are going through a divorce. Maybe they have a gambling addiction. Maybe they have an opioid addiction. Maybe they're just, quite frankly, terrible with money. So there's many reasons why we should sit down and look at what has changed. Why do we revisit your estate planning, your estate plan? And I know that I started our show off by saying maybe it's not needed anymore. But here are some of the things I always say. If a life event has occurred, this is a really good reason to pick up your phone and call us to revisit what's in your plan. Maybe somebody you named in that document is deceased. Maybe you no longer need a guardian for your kids. Possibly there's new people in your life who should be named in your will or your trust. Maybe there was a birth, an adoption, a death, a divorce, a marriage. Another thing is if there are new state laws imposed. Now, we do a fairly good job, I'd like to think, of updating our, keeping our clients in the loop, I should say, of what has changed, what's going to change. But more importantly, what if you move to a different state? Don't assume that the documents you have here in Pennsylvania will conform to the requirements of your new state. Each state has its own laws. So my parents relocated from Pennsylvania to Florida. And that was one of the first things that we did, was make sure that what we had here will work there and vice versa. And if it's not going to work, how do we update them so that they will work? A lot of our clients, like I said, will name guardians of children. But what about personal representatives, trustees, executor, whoever that fiduciary is? Maybe their life has changed and they can no longer act for you in your stead if you're not here to act for yourself or to act for your state. Kids grow up. I'm finding that every day. It's amazing how fast they grow. And that's one of the things people told us right when we had the kids. Enjoy it because, you know, blink of an eye, they're going to be this age. Blink of an eye, they're going to be going to high school. Blink of an eye, they're going to be getting married. When your kids age and their life changes, it's going to affect and impact your estate plan. So we need to update it based on their age. What's new in their life? What if your estate has substantially increased or even decreased in value? If you've acquired or disposed of a significant asset, that again is something to consider. What about when you age? We should always evaluate at least your estate plan prior to you attaining the age of 70 and a half, especially if you have an IRA, a 401k, or any other qualified financial plan that requires you to make distributions. And again, that age is 70 and a half. And the beneficiaries on those plans. We need to make sure, how is your beneficiary listed? Is it going to them outright? Is it going to a trust? And if it goes to a trust, we need to be, at least you should be aware, when you pass, what your beneficiary's required minimum distribution looks like. There's all different rules. Quite frankly, the passage of time is reason enough. I have more clients who come in who say, I haven't looked at my will since my kids were kids and now they're 40. That is definitely a reason. We may not necessarily have to update it as much as you think, but we should at least look at it. Blow the dust off your documents and let's review. All of our consultations are complimentary. They typically last an hour or so, depending on your circumstances. You come to our office. We can come to your house. You can have your kids there. Whatever makes you more comfortable and at ease to discuss what is going on in your specific case. Like I said, maybe your wealth has grown substantially since the last time you had your estate plan done, and you no longer need a will. Maybe we discuss what benefits a trust has for you and your family. What does a trust do? Does it make sense to buy life insurance? Does it make sense to look into long-term planning for the future? In the event of an unforeseen illness, death. I've had clients who have a form of dementia. Let's say they have Alzheimer's. Their body is healthy. Their mind is not. They may stay in a nursing home for 10 years, maybe five. These are things we have to consider and take into account. What if? I always say I'd rather you have the documents and not need them than need them and not have them. And it be the 11th hour and be it your spouse, your kids, a sibling, rush around and try to figure out what can we do now? What happens now? Is it an emergency plan? It's always better to have this thought out in place so that the transition is seamless, regardless of what that transition looks like. It was a great show. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Conti's Law with your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. If you have any questions or want to review your estate plan, we can be reached at 724-784-0239, www.contislawpgh.com, contilawpgh.com. Take care, everyone, and God bless.